Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ronnie Saraman. I'm a technical evangelist or developer evangelist at Microsoft Switzerland since many years. I don't know what kind of tech days is mine, probably the 10th or so, before it was called developer days and so on. And today, this session is a kind of bonus session. Once you get the chance to hear my super funny Italian accent for 1 hour, and that I'm sorry about that, but I can do also in German with the same strange accent. And at some point I will do in Italian, it will change absolutely nothing for you because you will understand exactly the same. But anyway, the second, I will show the new feature of Windows 8.1 for XAML C# developer. But for people that never have developed, or they want just to understand what Windows 8 development for modern apps is also an introductory session. So it's a bit of a mix, what's new, but also showing how to build your first application. So why modern apps? Why did we change the programming model, the UI and so on? I think the world is changing, right? You have more mobile devices, you have but you still use your desktop, you still use large, you know, at my desk I have a 27-inch with really high resolution, but then when I'm around, I use something like this, a Surface Pro, it has a docking station, you can undock, you have a keyboard, it's a tablet, it's a notebook, it's an ultrabook, it's a desktop machine. So it's really hard with the normal Windows programming model, the old one, the Win32 API, to fulfill all these devices with a nice software that works with touch, mouse, keyboard, and so on. And that's why we come out with a completely new way to develop application. Actually, the way you develop, if you have done Silverlight WPF in C#, is not absolutely new. It's very similar. But the UI and what you can do and so on is different. Of course, when you change the paradigm, you also take some interesting ideas like, oh, I want the software to be secure, that people are not scared to download and use your software and so on. So that's why there are some time limitations. Say, oh, I'm using Windows, I could do whatever I want, format hard drive, reboot machine every now and then. But I think the user, they don't really like these kind of things, right? So I think we're trying to find the right balance, what you can do, and what you should not do. And that's what also the new programming model is all about. Of course, modern apps, what we used to call Metro app, so this modern UI application, are not only consumer from the store, but it could be business to consumer, again, from the store, but it could be line of business application for your enterprise, for your small businesses, and so on. And there you also have the choice. Do I publish in the store, so I have an automatic delivery? It could be also a big advertisement if I do, I don't know, let's say a dentist application, I publish in the store, people will see it, yeah, I like it, I maybe buy, I maybe get in contact with you to license and so on. But then, of course, if you are in a large enterprise, you don't want anything to do with the store, for example, you can install your application in a side-loaded mode. In my second session, I explain a bit what are the challenges there. Good. So the good thing is you program once, you develop once, it's the same things. We don't have a choice. You are in the store or not. You want to do enterprise application. You want to do games or not. How do you build this kind of application? It's a big, better chart because we have also C++, DirectX, and so on. But basically, you have two choices for application. Either you choose XAML, C# or VB, or you use JavaScript, HTML5, and the WinJS library. I want just to explain because some people feel, oh, is it my right choice? So right now, I cannot give you the percentage, but I would say more than 2/3 of the app published in the store is done in C# and XAML. So don't feel sorry if you do like this, because most of the people do like this. And the second thing is that you need to understand is that the HTML5 for modern application is based on standard, but it runs only on Windows as an application. The goal is not to create portable application between Windows 8, iOS, Android. You cannot port. Actually, you cannot even run those applications in the browser. They don't run. They run only on the runtime. So the choice is super easy. What is your skill set? Are you really good in cascading style sheet and HTML5 and JavaScript? Do you like that? You don't know if it will run or not at runtime, but you're really loose and creative and so on? Then pick up HTML5 and JavaScript. If you're a guy that prefers strongly type, that when it compiles, it mostly runs kind of thingy, like me, then XAML C# is probably a preferred language. So it's really a skill choice. Actually, in store, I have some application done in HTML5 and JavaScript. It was really painful for me, but I did them. And I have some XAML C#. So the cool thing, you build exactly the same application. The end user will not even notice. So that's a really good thing. It's not something that is forced based on the scenario. They offer basically the same capability. Good. So, the evolution of applications. Of course, you had websites, and you have Win32 application, Visual Basic, WPF, and so on. And slowly, you have more web application, more install applications, and so on, but never really converge in one kind of UI that fits both scenarios and so on. A modern application is really a scenario where you basically merge the two paradigms, a web-based with navigation concept and so on, with scrolling, with nice UI, but still have the richness of a nice user interface, the productivity of a nice interface. So that's why we see all the big potential for Linux business, especially if you want to target touch-based device, where the current, let's say, WPF, Visual Basic, WinForm application, they're really painful to use with the finger. So that is probably the first big potential of those kind of application. So in fact, you tend to have in a modern application, to have a bit of everything, to have documents in there, to have data, to have content, to have HTML content, and so on. This is a classical thing that you see. You want to have a kind of hub concept. And in fact, one of the things missing in Windows 8 was we didn't have an app control. So we say, oh, you should build this nice app control application, but we didn't have a control. How bad is that? So the good thing is that finally we have an app control. It's also pretty funny to use. And I thought, should I build a consumer app? Should I build a line of business apps? So I pick up a stock application. The advantage is it's a bit of everything. It's a bit consumer-like, but it's also a bit of enterprise-like. So you can learn a bit of everything in there. Good. So let's start to create my first application. So in Visual Studio, you need 2013 to create Windows 8.1 application. You can create a new application here and go and pick a folder. Let's pick Tech Days Final. There we go. I really start from zero. So you see, of course, I do some copy-paste because, as you know me, I'm really slow in typing, so it will be tomorrow by time I'm at the first page. But anyway, here you have some templates. And actually, we have a new template called App Page. I cannot even pronounce that, I know. I should do a training. App, whatever. So anyway, the third one from the top, that helped. And when you go in there, it creates for you already an application that is almost ready. You don't need to. Normally, when I start a project, I start from a clean template. But I think for a demo, it's really cool because you can start and experiment how it works. So if I run this application, it's already almost done. Now, actually, you see there is this nice app concept with section. You have the various section. Some section of interaction, so you can click on the header, navigate to a subsection, go back. You have some details items, it goes in item details. So it gives you some basic idea. So if you look, there is a lot of application in the store that follow this pattern. So it's really easy to start with this pattern. So let's look at the app control, how it works. So if I go here, you can see that there is an app page. If I open it, you can see here on the XAML, it will show me. Let's do a bit of a cleanup here. feet tall, this I don't need that much, and maybe the XAML a bit bigger, and I will zoom in so you can see a bit more of the text. And so basically, here you have your app control, and you say, look, the app control have a section that can be clicked. You remember, click on section 3 when to a page, so this is the handler for that. Then he has an header, where basically you add the title. You see, if I select the back button here, I can see the back button selected and so on. So it's very nice. Visual Studio always works with these two views and so on. And then we start. You have the app section, the first one. He has an image that is the background here. And then you go on. There is a second one. He has some asset in there and so on. So the first thing that you do when you create a modern application, you pick a picture. And, you know, it took me about 2 days to build this application, for example, for the two-hour sessions. And it took me 1.5 days to pick up the picture, because that makes the huge difference. So if somebody said, why it takes so much to build application? Because you need to pick nice pictures. And let's go back here. I have some asset. I have an amazing picture. And then I realized, why did I put a Wall Street picture in a Swiss session where the Wall Street stock market is still closed? I don't know. I did it in the evening, of course, that's why. And so now I can go in the background and change it. And we put this ws.jpg. And you can see it comes a bit nicer, my application. It looks already much more professional. I want to even make it a bit larger. And let's run it. You see, it seems already much more finished, right? So this is a classical trick that you do. You add some photography, you add some nice content. It looks like more modern, although it's absolutely useless things that you have in the application. It's true. Why you want a picture there that every time you see Wall Street, Wall Street? You know, if you're a billionaire through Wall Street, maybe you say, yeah, thanks. But in my case, no. Okay. So now we have the section. I want to add some data. So I thought, this section looks already good, so let's add some data there. So I go in here, I take the second section here. So you see, it's picking up section one. I don't want the header, this one, and let's call it I want here. And here I got smart, I say, let's take the Swiss market index, because it will move today, maybe. And I want the chart. So in this case, I see I have an image that fits already the chart, and I can go in and change basically. I know Yahoo Finance offer charts, for example, in form of JPEGs or PNG async, and I simply change it here. So I change the source of my control, and you see automatically Visual Studio is triggering the source. I can check, yes, it's true. So I start my application. Pretty cool, and you have the chart here. So nothing spectacular, but you know, 2 seconds demo. You say, oh, it has a nice picture, nice chart that is even moving. Okay, so this is show a bit the app control. You have this section. They are done with data template. There are some tricks that you need to do. I'll show you later. But it's a cool control that gives you a good start if you have multiple content to show in the starting page. Good. Next thing. It was super painful in Windows 8. We have no way to create pop-ups. So you wanted to do a context menu, oh, build your own, it doesn't take that much time. You want to have another data entry form, oh, build your own, we don't care about you. The worst thing was even for the settings. You wanted to do the settings that most applications has, and they're cool. The OS showed this nice settings dialog, and in XAML C#, you had to build your own or use a third-party open source like Callisto. I did demo with using that. Now we have all these kind of controls inside Windows 8 and 1, so it makes your life a bit easier. And of course, they have the navigation, they have the animations, and so on, so they're kind of cool. One example is, for example, the menu layout. So if I want a menu on top of a button, for example, for the app bar, I can simply declare it in XAML in this way. So I don't need to do a lot of logic and so on. But if I want to do a context menu with a lot of logic, I can even do all by code. So I can create my context menu on the fly using the new API. So that's exactly what we are trying to achieve now. I would like to add a context menu on top of my application. Let's do that. So I go back on my project, and I see, oh, cool, the chart. I like it, but it will be cool that it is a bit more interactive than showing an image. So I can go and say, oh, it would be cool to have a context menu on top of the image. So I say right-tapped. It's creating the event handler for that. I right-click, go to definition, and already have my code in C#. And now I can display my pop-up menu using this class. So I show you the code now and explain it. I want a new pop-up menu. And it basically have a comments collection where I create a new UI comment with a text. You can give a UID and have full localization support. So don't worry if you need to do support multi-language. And then I say, OK, if you execute this menu, you could add an event handler if you prefer. I create a new bitmap image with a new chart URL, and I add it to the image source. So the image is calling the right tab, so I have it here, and I change the source. The same is for 5 days. Now, what it changed here is very simple. On Yahoo, it basically say, I want the date for 1 day or 5 days. So not rocket science here. And finally, I can go and create and say, show the pop-up menu. Now, view that is asynchronous, I need to declare my event handler as async. So the compiler recreate the delegate structure for me. And now, of course, we said, we give you the pop-up, we give you everything ready, but we want you to write some code. If not, you don't get paid. So we forget to add the get element rectangle. So where you want to place your pop-up, you still need to write code for that. I don't know why. Makes no sense at all, but somebody wanted to go home very early that night, say, oh, we don't add this feature, it costs too many hours. So basically calculates where I need to show my pop-up. Of course, the advantage of Treeline, you can control it better. But I would have loved to say, oh, show it on top, show it on the left, like you can do in XAML, so the logic is in there. So, ready to go? I have my chart control, I can go and change and say, I want the 5 days chart, I want the first day chart. So it's very easy, before you had to come up with the animation, the pop-up, the logic, the dismiss. Now we have it all in XAML and in code. So I find it very productive. And you know, sometimes you have always the up bar on the bottom. It's good, but sometimes it's better to have some context menu with the right click because people are used to that. Or you all tap, it will come up, so you can use also the finger if you want. Good. So, pretty nice feature. Another one, this is my preferred one. I don't know, since WPF that I struggle with this issue. So we created a web control. It's a browser that basically hosts Internet Explorer, in this case, Internet Explorer 11. It's super cool because you add it, you add a source, it shows some HTML, you say, wow! And then you start using it, say, what a crappy control we have created. I mean, it's really horrible in 8 because it can do everything you want if you leave it topmost. As soon as you want to work with that control. So just have events. You finish loading the page. I want to talk to the script. I would like to load the content from my local folder. You could not do that. So now we solve all this issue. But the number one issue we solve is integrated in the XAML tree. What it means is like a normal XAML control that can do any transformation. I can render XAML element on top without doing some nasty tricks with bitmap rendering and so on. So in fact, you can do something like this. You can have a control that have a SKU, and you can have a website control that even have the app bar on top. How cool is that? For you, maybe not. For me, it's very cool because before it was a real challenge to do something like this. So I show you how to use the web view in our application. So I go here, and let's go back to the app structure, and we pick another section. So maybe pick the second section, this one, and we say, oh, we may like to have it, 700 pixel wide. I don't want this one because it will add the other, and let's call it CBS News. And in this case, you have a data template with everything. I want to get rid of everything. here. And finally, I can use my web view. So I can say web view is maybe 908, which is 600. And now you get the source here. There will be a URL, and that's it. So basically, it's a web browser. And the web browser, I can add my content. So now I can go in and grab a URL. Voila. And now it should work. What did I do as a mistake? Do I have a space where? Oh, here. Amazing. This auto-correction feature from the public, I will need it also at home when I build the sample. It will make my life much easier. Amazingly, I have a web browser in there. There's nothing amazing on that. It even works, so incredible. So I can show web content. And the cool thing, I can show web content coming from the website or coming from a database or coming from a string. I can construct that, so I can show it. Now, the biggest pain that was so far that you cannot really make it and mix it well with XAML. So now we can do something like this that absolutely every application needs it. I can go to WebView, and let's use some designer feature. Instead of coding XAML, I can go and say, oh, look, I want to do some transformation, and I want to skew by 10 pixels. And if I go and check my WebView, it will be skewed by 10 pixels. So something it was impossible to do before, that to have it skew, and it even works. So if you want to kind of do Star Wars kind of website browsing instead of a title, you can use this feature. Absolutely cool. No, but it's important because you can interact. I can show a pop-up. I can show a right-click menu on top or so on. So this is just to show the extreme, but you want to animate something, you can do it. But as I said, the biggest challenge that it was in normal Windows 8 development is simply to show the toolbar on top of this part. That it was a bit of a hack with 8.0. Now with 8.1, it's normal. You show the app bar, you don't care, it will work. So let's get rid of these Star Wars effects because I don't like it, but it showed the power. And let's add an app bar. What I want to do, nothing, okay. Good. So, the app bar. The app bar is basically the toolbar with a better name. And you get one on top, on the bottom. You can use it with the finger, so you can do this gesture to get it, or right-click. But you have to create it your own, basically. You have this app bar, and then you create your own buttons, your own separator, and so on. You can still do it. You can place whatever you want in the app bar. But for basic things, I want to button with a nice icon, you have to code. And even worse, it comes idea, we give you all the icon in a file, hidden somewhere, all commented. So if you're lucky to find it, you can uncomment and use this icon. So somebody smart, he said, oh, I solved this issue. I give you some nice design and some nice XAML support. So let's add an app bar. I go back to my application. And the app bar normally go on top of the, or at the bottom of the page. In this case, I do it at the bottom. I say I want a page. I want a bottom app bar. Voila. Then I say I want to create a new app bar. And in this new app bar, I want to use a stack panel to organize things. And I want to basically add a button. Before, you had to add a normal button. Now we have this something called a bar button. I can give it a label or a UID if I want to localize. Let's call it settings, for example. And let's close it. You can see it basically if you go here, you can see it doesn't have any icons yet. Now, the cool thing about icons, I can go here. I can type icons and get some IntelliSense, like this, and get the IntelliSense, but that's kind of useful and kind of not. But the cool thing, you can go here in the designer, and I can say I want to search for the icon. And the icon, you can pick it and say, I want a symbol, so a library that we have. I want a font, so if the icon is in a font, you can use it. I want a normal bitmap, or I want a path or a vector graphic. So in this case, I want from the library. I can open it up, and you can see it, all the icons that we have already in there. So no need to find, replace strange comments thing, so now we can go and find for settings. Whoopala. Voila. And now you have the nice settings icon. Now on the separator. Before, ooh, how do I do a separator? Now new, a bar separator. Then I want a second button. It will be cool, a toggle button. So new things, we have an app bar called app bar toggle button. And I can say label, auto refresh. And in this case, icon, I know already, there should be a refresh. So I'm very, very productive that I'm very quick. Now, I have the stack bar. The stack bar, yes, the bar for drinking. The stack panel that add things on top. So from the top to the bottom, I want horizontal in this case, so I simply change the orientation. So orientation horizontal. And now you see I have my app buttons in the app bar, created by my own XAML without too much work. Now, the proof that I was not lying to you is that I can call the app bar on top of the browser. How cool is that? In the old one, the browser would have created a nice hole here that you say, what they are doing. So it's technically a challenge to mix HTML and DirectX rendering together, but now we finally fix it. And of course, we have our button and also the toggle button that I can toggle. So simple, but also, again, productivity. For people never seen the app bar, you know what it is and how you develop. And for people knowing already, there are some nice enhancement. Good. Even on time. Voila. Another big request. We are not there where I would really like to have that there is a nice SDK that you have DocX, Excel, PowerPoint support, and so on. But at least we've started to add PDF. Don't expect a full PDF library that you can create Acrobat, distiller, whatever it's called now, that can create, it's only for reading. And the first interaction that we have in 8.1 is the idea to render the document as an image and to browse through the images. So it's really for viewing documents, quickly integrating documents in your application without buying third-party control. There are some really good ones. Really expensive one, or you can use our free one. They're very simple API, but the basic things you cannot really drag. You cannot copy paste content from there. You cannot find search. It's really very simple, but it gives you some basic PDF reading API. So as I said, the main goal is to render PDF documents in images and show images on the screen. So let's add it. It's a good case for my application. I have some financial result to show it. So here I go and pick up, for example, let's make it a bit larger. Voila. The last section. And we give it a width. I should update my virus protection. Maybe not yet. In case everything will go wrong now. I understand. I will do it someday. OK. You should do it every time, actually, automatically, but I'm a control freak, so I like to know what is doing my machine at every time. So, good. So now I want to say the financial results, voila. And here, I get rid of everything that I have it in here because I don't care about all this strange Latin stuff. I didn't study Latin, so I don't understand anything anyway. Good. Data template. So now what I want to use, view that I want to show images, I could use a flip view. So flip view basically is a control, is a carousel kind of things. So I say I want a new flip view. So in my flip view, I would like to have the items template. So basically it's a repeater, an item template. And in this case, in the item template, I say I want a data template. And in the data template, I want an image. And in this image, I want the source to be data bound. So I say, look, bind it to the object that I send it to you. OK? So it means that for every image in a collection, it will load it on this flip view. And while you navigate through, it shows the image. Actually, we load it at runtime with virtualization, so it's also very good performing. Now, you see that the FleetView is in a data template, so you cannot access FleetView by a name. There are some tricks to do that. The easiest way to do it, for example, say, oh, look, when you're loading this FleetView, you should add, why is not doing that? You should add my event handler. Let's say, whatever. Good. And basically, it's entering this. So as soon as it's showing the visual tree, I'm getting the loading event, loaded event. Now, I need a PDF. Of course, you can download the PDF from the website. Here, to make it very simple, the example, I already embed the PDF in my application. So I take the financial result of Microsoft. And now you can see the financial result of Microsoft here. I need to say you want to package as a content. So it gets together with the application. It gets delivered when you install the application. Of course, you can download it from the web, download it later as you want. It's just an example. So now we go with my logic to create the PDF. And it's very simple. So that's the advantage of this API. So you want it using asynchronous, async, voila. And basically you say, look, I want to get the PDF file, so I get it from the install location, so I can access the file that comes with my package. I get it. I get the new PDF document class, and I say load it from this file. So now I have the PDF document in this object. Now I say, create a collection of images, basically with all the images of my pages. Tell me how many pages do you have. And then I say, for every page, get the page and render this page. So this one, render to the memory stream and pass the memory stream to a BMAT image that I added to the collection. So basically, I'm loading all the PDF images in a collection. And this collection, at the end, I said, it will be the data source of my flip view. Right? So now I can run my application, can go there, oops, let's scroll it, and now you see I have my financial result. Now the only thing is a bit ugly in this case, that I scroll it horizontally. So for me, documents, I prefer to scroll it vertically. So how I do that, I can change the flip view modus, and you basically, and that's a concept that you need to learn when you do XAML, you can change the item template, but also the item panel. So in this case, I go in one up page and simply change the flip view. And I say, look, the flip view should use another panel. And it should use a virtualizing stack panel. That is exactly the default that is in there. But new has this property orientation set to vertical. So now the scrolling will be vertical. So you see, it's not our super rich API, but you get some basic PDF viewing directly on your application. You can also use very large document. There are some optimization that you can do. It just shows you that I can do it fairly easy. Before, you had to find a control or use the browser. The browser cannot load a PDF control in Metro, blah, 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 blah. So finally, we have this nice API. Good. So another control that we added is called search box control. And basically, you get an autocomplete box for free. So what it gives you can give result suggestion already if you can pre-query, or you can decide to give it query suggestion. So you go, you look yourself on the database, classical autocomplete, and then the last things, it creates a search history for you automatically. So if you want to have a search history that is persisted, even if you stop the application and you restart it, you can use the search box. It's very easy, and it does all for you. So let's do that. Let's add a search box control on my project. So first thing I wanted to do, I want to create a user control. So I can encapsulate some logic in a user control, and let's call it quotes control. Control, voila. So in this case, in my control, I want to change the grid in a stack panel. should go to a typing training. Stack panel, voila. And then the next thing I wanted to do is add this search box control. So you say search box control. And in this case, I can say, I don't know what I want to say. Oh, there is something new also in the text box. This is called placeholder text. That basically is this help. So I can say comma delimited symbols, for example. Then you have event. Like, for example, you have query submitted. That is the one that I want to use. But also suggestion, I think suggestion requested. So here, you can wire up your logic, query the database, something as you want. In my case, I want to use the query submitted. Say, oh, OK, if you submitted the query, you go in there. And basically, I close my search box. I give it a name because I will need it later on. So let's call it symbols search box. Cool. So now if I take a look at the XAML here, I have now my comma delimited help in there and so on. So now I want to use this control. So I go back to my app page and let's get to another section. So this section seems to be a good one because there's still a lot of crap in there, so get rid of that. Unfortunately, I can create application only with four sections because that's the sample as it. If you want more, no, I'm kidding. You can create, of course, as many sections you want. And let's call it like this portfolio, whatever, and let's give it a width so it shows the control a bit larger. And in here, I want to get rid of everything in there and add my control. So in this case, I will say local, because the control created local. I want the quotes control, and that's it. So now, if it's doing right, I can quickly check. You see, my control is rendering in my app page, and I can work on that. So now the cool thing I said, you get for free auto-completion. I don't have any database, but at least I get the history. So if I do Microsoft and Apple stock price, and then maybe I do Microsoft, AOL, and IBM, and again Apple, and whatever, eBay. You can see that now if I clean it and I press M, you can have the auto-completion already. Auto-completion is history suggestion. The cool thing is if I close the application, if I can close it, whatever, restart the application, you will see that those data are in cache. So they're stored locally. In the local storage for you, you don't need to create the logic for that and so on. So that's pretty neat and simple to use. OK, so we have a search box. I can search for quotes. Finally, I can get some data. Data I will cover a lot in the second session, so I didn't want to add too much in the first session, but I want to show at least how you get some data in here. So let's take a look at some advanced that we have in here. So we added a new HTTP client stack. The API are exactly the same as 8.0, very similar to Silverlight and so on. But the cool thing, finally, we got it right. We share cookie, credential, everything, even with the web view. So for example, you can log in on a website on the web view and then request a web service, and you get the same credential across those things. Before, it was really pain. You need to create a lot of workaround to doing that. You can control the cache. You want always fresh content or not, you decide. It's not Internet Explorer deciding the cache. But also, you can create filter and content yourself. So you can really put yourself between the HTTP client and all the protocol thingy doing. So if you want to implement special protocols on top and so on, you could do it. We want to keep it simple, simply calling a services. In this case, classical today, on modern application, you don't need to. You can still use SOAP web services. But SOAP does stand for Simple Object Access Protocol. It becomes super complex object access protocol. So most people are moved to REST API using JSON, for example, or XML to keep it very simple. So we can do JSON, we can do XML, we can do SOAP. So it's up to you, depending on the service that you want to use. So our blonde friend at Yahoo has created a nice REST API to query stock quotes. So in fact, they even have a console that you can create your own query. And you can say you want XML or JSON code. And in this case, I want to have JSON. I can say test JSON data. So basically, it's giving me back the quotes, and it's creating me the URL for the REST request. So I can copy this URL and call it. And what I get back this nice JSON result. You can even see it as an object collection. So you can see I have the four quotes with all the value there. Now, it's a big pain to create the class for these JSON things. So one cool thing that we have still since Visual Studio 2012, so nothing super new, you can take your nice JSON payload, you copy, you go on Visual Studio, say, look, I would really like to have a new item, a new class, and let's call it JSON payload. Voila. And now, with some kind of magic here, I could paste the result here, super ugly, not very useful. Or super hidden, you can go edit, paste special, and you can have it as a XML or as a JSON class, and it creates a class structure for me. Pretty cool. Now I need to change a couple of lines because it will disturb me after. So this is a string because I don't care. And then they have two names exactly the same. So this one, I call it symbol one. So basically now, you have your JSON class ready for you. So now, I simply need to call a web service and get the result back. So let's go in my quote control and say, look, as soon as you submit your query, I want to get the symbol. So I can say string symbols, voila. And let's say symbols equal, and this should be E, args, whatever, and it should be query text. So I got the symbols here, and now I can do my query to get the data. So I copy the query, it's very easy. So I use a HTTP client library, and I say, look, it needs to be asynchronous, as all the call. And I say, do and call this Yahoo query. This is the query that I copy from the console. It's exactly this one on the bottom. And the only thing I format the URL to pick up my symbols. So it's replacing the comma with the escaping character. That's it. So it will put in all the symbols. It will execute the request. I get back a stream. I initialize a nice data contract JSON deserializer. And here is the root object is exactly what we have created before, copying and paste the JSON structure in there. Now I get back a result, so my result, and they're ready to use. So in fact, I can quickly test it. Start, go back here, I say I pick up these ones, bam, get the result, want to watch the result, guess what, there is a quote, I have my quotes, with my value in there. So pretty clean and nice. Now the last thing I need to do is to show some data on the screen. So with some data binding, the classical data template with the grid view control that you probably know if you have done Windows 8 apps before, I can go in here and say, look, after the search box, I want the result. It's called, what it's called, voila. I simply say, I want a grid view. I want to scroll it. It's binded to the quote collection. And basically, for every item that you find, you show me a nice grid with the symbol, the name, the last price that we pay, the percentage change, and the change. OK? So now we can go in here. And while I wrap these things, I can say, look, this data context. So I change the data context, and it should be the result. Banded to the result. Results. Voila. So now, automatically, with data binding, for every quote that I have, it should show my data on the screen. Good. So let's pick it up. Microsoft eBay, fantastic. We can even have scrolling. So let's say, oh, let's take something Swiss, UBSN.VX. You see that I'm trading all day, so I know all these things. DDD, Stratasys, all the crap that I have that doesn't work. Well, I'm still here because they are not good investment, other than this one, of course. And here, basically, you get the search with the data, and you see for UBS, you have even a percentage change. The other are market close at the moment, so on. Now, the only annoying thing of this application, so you've seen I use JSON and so on, the only thing that annoying about these things is that every time I start, I need to re-enter what I enter here. Would it be cool to save it on a kind of local storage settings? So actually you can, and it's fairly easy, so let's quickly reformat a bit the code here. Let's say refactor, I want to extract method, get quotes. Voila. I don't care about waiting for this one. And so now, basically, when I have the symbols here, I want to save it somewhere. So I can say windows.storage.applicationData.current.whatever. At some point, you finally reach the point that you can choose. Do I want to store it in local folder, in local settings, remote folder, or remote settings? The cool thing about remote folder or settings that for the same application with the same user, it will be synchronized across machines. So very handy that if I log in my Surface, automatically we have the same quote symbols in there without writing any code to do that. So remote settings, dot values, I want to add for symbols. Oops. So let's call symbols. And I say, look, symbols. Let's make it a bit equal symbols. So not very complex code. Eh? So now what I need to do, I need to say, when you load this component, so load it. So when you load these components, go and check if you saved previously this value. So now I write the code for that. And it's very easy. I simply say, look, do you have something called symbols in your storage? Yes. If yes, get it, set it to the text box, and execute the query. So very easy, huh? I simply go and read the value. Now you can do object, you can serialize the object. In the second session, I'll use SQLite if you want to use something more complex saving data, but this gives you the base. So now the cool thing is that I start my application, go back in my quote, pick up the last one used. Cool. Now I close my application. Today I'm really not good in closing my application. Restart my application. You go back, and now automatically you have the data and the data loaded. And the cool thing, if I would start the Surface Pro here or the Surface RT, I get exactly the same view that I left. So pretty cool and nice. Good. Perfect. There is another thing that I wanted to show you. And in Windows 8, somebody that's done Windows 8, we require to submit the application that you have the snap view. This is a 320 pixel wide view of your application. Now, there are some applications that is super cool to have it, some other absolutely ugly. Why a game should have a 320 pixel flight simulator that you can play, or an Excel spreadsheet with all things small? So finally, we got it right. We say, you can choose if to have it or not. By default, 8.1, you split at 500 pixels. So your application needs to support 500 pixels, should be usable. Most of the applications are usable. The cool things about 500 pixels, I can have multiple applications at the same time working. So multitasking, you can have three. If I have multiple screens, I can load it on other screens. In the second session, I show you even the same application running twice. So pretty cool. But if you want, you can still do the optional 320 view. So let's see how it works. So again, the optional view kind of makes sense in some scenarios. So if I start my application, I can grab it and go in this view. And you can see my application at half screen is perfectly usable. But maybe at some point, if I make it too small, let's say the minimum is like this, yeah, it's kind of wacky. I don't really like it like this. So you can choose it or not. Of course, lateral of this one, you can have another application running. You can see So now you can really work split screen with two applications, can do copy paste among those two. Hallelujah, you can do copy paste between two applications. Something that we invented like 25 years ago, maybe 30, is back. So cool. So, but it would be cool to have this 320 pixel. For this application, only the quotes will be cool. So how you do that? First of all, you need to say in the manifest, look, I don't want the default minimum width. I want my minimum width, that is 320. So I support the 320. It's an opt-in. Good. And now, finally, I can write some logic. So in my app page here, I can go grab an event. So the right approach is size change. Well, you can also rescale things if you see you're only 500, so it's up to you. And here the logic that I do, and you can do whatever logic. There's no more query to say you are a snap view or not. You simply ask how wide you are. So are you below and equal 500? I show this control. If not, don't show it. So in this case, very easy view that I created a control before. I can go in my app XAML. And basically, I have a grid that will take all the places on top of everything else in case that I'm below or equal 500. So I simply say, I want a narrow quote. By default, you don't see it. I only see it when I dock. And then it shows the quotes control exactly the same, just that it's a bit more constrained. So now I can run my application. And now if I go up, if I go grab it, it doesn't want to grab. Why? Okay. Now it's a normal view. And at some point when I go to the minimal view, it switch back to this nice snap view. And so basically you can create scenario like this one, that this is an application that I wrote as a joke because Apple has removed the SBB HUR. And so I created one that looks more realistic. And actually, they publish it, so it's pretty cool. And so that's the classic approach if you work in the senior government. You want the stock quote to see if you can retire early. And you want the clock to see if it's 5 o'clock to go home and stop working for today. In my case, it's not a good scenario. It's a joke that we always do in Ticino. Maybe here is better, I don't know. And you have the nice clock. And actually, you have the nice animations on. You can download it if you want and you like it. And the cool things, it even shows the tiles with some tricks what ours is, you see. Now it's, I still have 4 minutes for my session. So just to show you, I can use multiple applications with 50-50. I can still do snap view, but it's an opt-in snap view. Good. Last thing I wanted to show you. We finally think, oh, maybe somebody in the application, they will want to use some date and time pickers. And normally, they're not so easy to build because there are various locales. It should be US or not, and so on. So finally, we got it right. We got date pickers out of the box. And another thing that was almost impossible to do with 8.0, let's say that you're search.ch or local.ch, you search for a contact person and you would like to save it in your Outlook, in your People app or whatever. Or another thing, you want to simply to want to save an appointment. You see something, you see this feature, it doesn't really work well in a stock application, it works much better in a dating application, right? Oh, I want to meet with somebody, let's put in the calendar. And hopefully, calendar is not shared with your wife, but this is the feature that we have. So that's pretty cool. We finally can talk with calendar and we can talk with the People app. So the idea here, I'm in the stock, I see, oh, there is a financial result from Microsoft next week. It's better that I book so I can sell it. And as soon as I sell my stock, it will announce a super result and will skyrocket the stock. It always worked like this with me. So I should do a blog. I do this, and people do the other one. They get rich. And let's do that. So I go here in my super app here somewhere, and I want to add. So basically, We can use the app bar, and the cool thing with the fly out, I cannot control inside the app bar with a fly out without need to worry too much of the logic. So app bar, replace my app bar button settings because we don't have it. And here, you can see I have a fly out. So as soon as I click the app bar, it will show a stack panel. And look at that, a date picker, time picker. And so basically here it will show the date and time picker. And here I can finally go and create my appointments. So let's call the code for appointments. It's very rich, you can do most everything. And let's compile it, you will see it. So basically I want to create a new appointment. I get the date and time from date and time picker. I calculate the time zone. I calculate the time of that, and I set the time for my appointment. I can add a subject, duration, reminder. You can invite attendee and so on. It's all rich. I wanted to keep it simple example. I set the time, the busy status. In this case, you want to busy. You want to set it private, you can set. And at the end, you say, try to create a new appointment. And this will pick the default. You can say, you want to pick the default application that creates that. Of course, it's asynchronous, so we need to add it. And now, if I run my application, I'm here, I see, cool news, I need to check with these things. I can right-click, click Add as Appointment, say MSFT rocks, whatever. I can set the date, time, add calendar. It will start the calendar application or the people application, and the end user will decide, yes, I want to add to the calendar or not. So it's pretty nice that we have this feature in there. Cool. I think I'm done. The last thing, I didn't want to really do a session on about that. We have two new icons. We have the small icons and the extra large icons. So of course, you can send notification if you want to. So that's a small things new that we have, and people can decide which one of the size you want to have it, and so on. So that's a small things that we added also on Windows 8.1. Good. So incredible in time. So as a summary, I think I show 8.1 is really a service pack. What we added quite a bit of API, but especially we spend time in adding the feature that was a bit painful before to use it. So we really refined some of the API. We added some new one, like the app and so on. It makes really a bit more productive. Something was already very, if somebody's creating Windows 8 apps, it's not creating the apps, the painful process is submitting the app on the store. But creating the app is very fun and productive. And we have even new API for that. And my second session, so right after lunch, I will take this application and add everything that is data-driven. So like navigation, chart, creating multi-windows, multitasking, paging, incremental loading, so loading a lot of data on the fly without interrupting the user, using some data grids that are available, using the local storage, SQLite, so if you want to have a local database, what you can do, and a quick 5-minute introduction, what are the challenges if you want to deploy an application inside the enterprise without going through the store. Again, I will be around for lunch. I will be after my second session in the Microsoft stand. If you have questions, you want to see more, understand more, please come by. I'm more than happy to discuss with you, get new idea from you, share what I have in mind, and I hope you enjoy this session. Thank you very much. Have a good lunch, and see you maybe in the second session. Thank you.